Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse of the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Nasata L'Riyecha. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse in Shabbos Parshas, Chukas Bolok. That year was the 12th day of the month of Tammuz, in the year Tav Shin Lamed Vav, 49 years ago. The Rebbe went on to certify and edit this Chassidic discourse in honor of the 12th day of the month of Tammuz, Yud Beis Tammuz, in the year Tav Shin Mem Vav, 39 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in Psalms that says, Nasata l'riyacha neis l'isnoiseis mifnei koishet selah. Again, there's many different translations. So one simple translation is that you gave to the people that are in awe of you a banner to hold up because of your truth, your love for the Jewish people. And the Rebbe brings from the previous Rebbe who was celebrating his redemption and his celebration in a Chassidic discourse on this verse. So he brings the Targum Yonasan, and the Targum Yonasan says that in Aramaic, You gave to those that are in awe of you. Nisa l'isnasabe, you know, it comes from the expression of not a banner, but of a test. And why? Because of the truth of Avram Avinu in this world. So that's what the Targum says. Now, this verse, King David says, we know King David was the one that sang all the beautiful, sweet songs for Hashem. And he said it not only on his own behalf, he said it on behalf of all the Jewish people. So in other words, therefore, obviously all the details in the verse apply to every single Jewish person. And like it's understood, based on the way the Targum translated, that Mifnei Koshet Selah is not referring to the truth of Hashem, it's referring to the truth of Avram Avinu. And we know that the Avos, Avram was part of the Avos. Every single Jewish person is connected to the Avos, because we know that you don't call the Avos only the three, the Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Rosh Tzur, the head of the Jewish people, and especially that Avram Avinu, who is the head of all the patriarchs. So obviously it's self-understood. This week it says, Nasat L'Riyacha. And the reason is because of the truth, is referring to every single Jewish person. And like it says, V'ata Yisrael Mo Hashem Alekecha Shoyel Mimcha. You are Jewish people, what is Hashem asking from you? He's asking one thing, Kim L'Yir, to be in awe of Hashem. And the reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, being in awe is a small thing. So you can say that's why every single Jewish person, and even someone just called a Jewish person, not necessarily because they do anything or they observant, etc., they're called in awe of Hashem. And that's what the verse says, Nasat L'Riyecha, I've given to those that are in awe of you, which means a God gives to every single Jewish person, Nais, in the expression like we just learned from the Targum, a test, because every one of us has what? The power of Avram Avinu. And he continues on the Chassidic discourse to explain that it's known that Avram Avinu, he's the one that opened up the gates of Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice. One that started and one that opened up the possibility to self-sacrifice, it all started with Avram Avinu. And you can say, and that's why he explains, the reason that the work of the test of tests is connected with the truth of Avram Avinu, because Avram is the one that started the whole process. So he says, seemingly, one second, what are we saying? Avram is all about tests. But the fact is, we know Avram Avinu, the main service of Hashem wasn't from Yira, from being in awe of Hashem. What was Avram Avinu? Avram was all about love. And like it says clearly in the prophets, Avram Oyavi, Avram, the one that I loved. And the same thing also, that Avram Avinu is the one that started, he's the one that started the whole idea of self-sacrifice. And tests is specifically through self-sacrifice. And Mesiras Nefesh is the idea of being in awe and being acceptance. And that's why it says, after the test of the Arkada, the last test, it says, Ati Yadayti, now I know, Ki Arei Elokim Ata, now I know that you fear God. Now, this, that the work of the spiritual work of tests comes through self-sacrifice, what does that mean? It's referring to obviously a high level. Why? Because generally speaking, when we serve Hashem through learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, it has to be based on the work of self-sacrifice. And like the Altar writes clearly in Tanya, that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu instructed the generation that entered the land of Israel to read Shema, because observance of learning Torah and doing mitzvot is dependent that a person should remember that they're willing to give their life for Hashem. And the same thing also, the general idea of learning Torah, and doing mitzvot, and prayer by every single soul, it's all about the idea of self-sacrifice. What does that mean, self-sacrifice? That you don't think about your own needs. You don't think about what your body wants. But nevertheless, so you're learning Torah, and you're doing mitzvot, it's coming from a place of self-sacrifice. Obviously, in the revealed states, it's not like you're going in self-sacrifice every minute. But you're learning Torah, you're doing mitzvot, and you're obviously observing all the positive commandments in all detail, and you're careful not to transgress any of the negative commandments in all the detail. So obviously, it's not self-sacrifice in its own right. But it's connected, the connection of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, it's part of it, which basically means you're learning Torah and doing mitzvahs from a place of tam v'das, which means just logical, and obviously you're wanting to go on self-sacrifice. And obviously you can say that in the power of the soul, it's the work of, which we call makiv akarev, which means it hovers over you, but it's close to you, which is connected to an internal relationship, and it gets enclosed in it. Just like, for example, the power of will, the power of rotzin, which rotzin we know is makiv, it hovers over. But it gets enclosed with what? With chachma. And through it, it goes into the general idea of all the intellect and all the emotions, which basically intellect and emotions are the internal powers that we have. However, the work of tests, which is basically Mesiras Nefesh, which is connected to the idea of Mesiras Nefesh, and what comes out from there is to serve Hashem with all the 10 powers that we have. Like, for example, you have the main point and the things that are a byproduct, which is basically Mesiras Nefesh, which means practically in the powers that we have in our soul, that's obviously Makav HaRochik, which hovers over, which basically is connected what? To the idea of the Yechida, the oneness of our soul. So based on service, you like to explain the two ideas of the verse of Nesata, which first means Nes, Lisnoises, which means one idea is the test. Like the Targum Yonasa says. And the second idea is what? The idea of miracles, which basically is a miracle within a miracle. Because basically the idea of a test comes from a miracle, which is within a miracle of the soul, which is connected to what? The idea of Yechida, the essence of the soul. So this is why he continues on in the Chassidic discourse to explain that the beginning of the service of Avraham Avinu was recognizing God from the world. He looked around the world and he recognized God. And like the Medrash says, a parable, that person was traveling from place to place and he saw something burning. Oh my gosh! And he says, something's going on here. Someone's running this. Running the show. It can't be nobody's running the show. So the owner actually gave a peek out and revealed himself. So the same thing also. When Avraham Avinu said, oh my gosh, it can't be, this world is operating without a ruler. So Hashem obviously peeked out to him and he says, yes, I'm the one that's running the world. So you can explain, what does that mean that I'm the one that's running the world, that was revealed to Avraham Avinu? So that is basically the spark of Hashem, which is connected to the spark of the human being, and the spark of the human being that connects to Hashem, which basically is the level of the Yechida, the deepest part of the soul. We know there's five levels of the soul, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai, Yechida, and the Yechida is the part of Hashem. And this recognition that Avraham Avinu came to realize this is a God that runs the world, that's what Avraham Avinu went ahead and he spread the teaching of Hashem all over the world. And like it says, the verse, it says, Vayikra Shem B'Shem Hashem Keloilam. So we say, don't read Vayikra, he called, but Vayakri. What does Vayakri mean? That he inspired everyone in the world to realize there is a owner to this world. It's not ownerless. And I can explain in many places the idea of when it says that, so Vayikra means Vayakri, he inspired other people. And when it says Kel Oilam, it doesn't say Kel Ha'olam, God of the world, but God world, which means that not that God is one thing and the world is something else, but God is the one that's part of the world. God and the world is the same thing. Like, for example, the expression is, Ein Oid Mulvade, there's nothing in this world that exists other than Hashem. And that's the connection between the recognition that Avraham Avinu had of God in the world to the level of the test that he had. Why? Because how did Avraham Avinu overcome the test? Because he was willing to go on self-sacrifice. And where does self-sacrifice come from? It came from the oneness of his soul, the yichid of his soul. And that's why the self-sacrifice of Avraham Avinu wasn't like the self-sacrifice of Rabbi Akiva, where he said, "Oy, when am I going to have the opportunity to go to self-sacrifice?" No. Avraham Avinu's whole essence was to reveal God in the world. And if he had to go on self-sacrifice, no problem, he'll do it. In other words, because Avraham Avinu wasn't an independent person. When am I going to go self-sacrifice? Whatever he was doing this for Hashem. Like he said, V'anoichi offer v'efer, I'm dust and ashes. And that's the real self-sacrifice that's coming from a place of yechida. And because he had this powerful level of acceptance, that's how he was able to be so powerful. And even though there was one Avraham Avinu, and the whole world was opposite it, and that's why he's called Avraham Ivri. He was on one side, the whole world was on the other side. But he was able to inherit the land. Why? Because he promoted godliness in the world. And that's how you build up the world, by making the world a dwelling place for Hashem down in this world. Now, what we learned till now, that the spiritual work of tests, when Hashem tests you, how does it happen? It comes through Mesiras Nefesh. You have to be willing to give up your life. So the question, what's the reason why that in order to be tested, you have to have Mesiras Nefesh? He explains in the Chassidic Discourse that when there's a test, so what happens is the godly spark is concealed and hidden more than normal. So you need the Mesiras Nefesh to uncover that spark. And he explains with an introduction of the difference between, there's two different types of works, the spiritual work that we do in the world. There's something which is called avoidas habiruim, transforming sparks, and then there's transformation, the work of tests. In other words, even though a test is also transforming and refining the world, and that's how we came down to this world. Technically, it's in the same thing. It's all about elevating the world, transforming the world, but there's a big difference, Rebbe explains. Because when it comes to avoidas habirurim, refining certain things in the world, so when you're refining the world, you're transforming the world, so you're busy with the thing you're transforming. For example, let's say you're eating a physical food, kosher food. So there's a godly spark in the food that's being transformed and being refined by dealing with the food and the spark. And that's, and the same thing also applies to anything that we need, whether it's clothing, whether it's housing, anything material. So there's something there, and we're looking for the spark, and we're trying to transform it and refine it. However, when it comes to a test, the way you transform a test, you're not dealing with anything specific. The person is going through the test, but not something physical in the world. In other words, what does that mean? It explains like this. When you're dealing with transformation, whether it's physical food, space. So in Kabbalah it's called, there's war between physical things. Like it says that, Nama Pum Charba Leichel, when you're eating, there's war that's going on with the materialistic thing you're eating. And how do you do that? But first you have to pray first. Like it says, B'charbi B'chashli. And what is it, when you go to capture something, you need your sword and your bow, etc. But what does that mean spiritually? It's by praying. And like I explained many places, in reference to the blessings of Shema, which is basically the introduction to Shema, which over there in the Shema you have Vyahafta, which is the whole idea of prayer, which basically is meditating in the source of the animal soul and all the transformation. And by dealing with the animal soul, that's how you transform it. So therefore, because you're dealing with the animal soul and you're dealing with the physical world, it's a way of combat, that's war. And you're dealing with the physical part. And you have to think about its source, and through that, that's how you transform it. And the same thing also applies to the general idea of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. Because you're dealing with the Yetzer Hara. You're dealing with the evil inclination. You have to argue with it, and you have to go into war with it. And there's multiple ways that you deal with the Yetzer Hara, and with meditation, how to be successful, etc. So that's all when you're dealing with transformation. Avoid this Habirurim. But when it comes to tests, so it's not that you're innovating it, and you're not elevating it, you're actually pushing it away. A test is all about pushing it away, you're ignoring it. Or like, for example, there gives an example, the difference between in mitzvahs itself. We know there's two types of mitzvahs. There's the positive commandments and the negative commandments. So what's a positive commandment? You're doing this specific thing. In other words, you're busy with the thing you're elevating. But a negative precept, don't do this, you're not doing anything, you're staying away from it. So you're staying away and you're just pushing it away. So just like in the positive commandments and the negative, the positive, you're doing something and negative, you're pushing it away. The same thing, avoidance of berurim is you're transforming it. And the sioinus is you're basically staying away. It's more in the person, the strength within the person. Now, even though that the way it works with a negative precept is by basically pushing it away, I'm not touching it, I'm not dealing with it, I'm not getting involved. But nevertheless, it's also compared to a positive commandment because basically, in both in the positive command and the negative, there's something. You're dealing with a something that in the positive you're doing it, and the negative you're not doing it. So by the positive command, you're doing the commandments, and basically the negative commandment, you're not doing anything. And therefore, you're busy with a negative commandment is not the person, it's with something that you're pushing away. Let's say you don't, for example, eat this. So but there's something that you're not eating. So you're something that you're transforming by not eating it. So even though that you're basically working with your evil inclination to practice restraint, but you're practicing restraint not to consume something. And that's the way you're pushing it away and you're nullifying it. But since you're dealing with something materialistic and core, so you have a connection, albeit a negative connection to the thing that you're transforming. However, when it comes to a test, like it says in the Chassidic discourse, so the test itself is nothing. It was only established so that you can stay away from it. So therefore, when the person is dealing with it, you really, the struggle is with yourself, not with the thing, it's with yourself. To awaken the internal essential power, which is the power to withstand the test, and not to be intimidated by it at all, and up to the point where you don't engage in arguments and discussions, but you stand stronger. No, it's not possible to get engaged in this test without engaging. And when a person takes a strong stand that you're not engaging, what happens is the thing that's trying to test you goes away. Because what gets revealed that it really doesn't really exist. And the whole reason why exist is so the person should reveal his essence of his soul. And the fact is, that is the internal will of the soul, which is beyond getting involved in something physical. Well, like for example, let's take for example the test of Avraham Avinu, where Hashem said to bring up his son as on the altar. And that's where actually the main opening of the test started with Avraham Avinu. So what was the test? The test was, Hashem said, do something. The test was, is he going to delay tactics? He's going to do it right away. And like it says in Tanya, in Negeres HaKodesh, that the fact that Avraham Avinu went right the first thing in the morning with full alacrity, that is what gives us the power till today, that when it comes to do something, we do it right away. And like Chazal tell us, that when he went on the test, all of a sudden there was a big river blocking him. He couldn't go. He was trying to go. But guess what? Was Avraham Avinu intimidated? Nope. He went to do what he had to do. There's water in the way. Guess what? He walked into the water. But he's going to drown. No, because he didn't see the water as water. It was a test. Hashem told him to go. There's water. You walk through the water. What happened to the water? It went away. Because when he stood strong, what got revealed? That the truth, that the whole reason the water was there, was to test him. And if he's not being intimidated, the test goes away. And the same thing also afterwards, when it came to the actual test itself of the Akedah. And he didn't, what did Hashem say? No, I didn't tell you to actually kill your son. I said elevate him. You elevated him. Now you can put it down. And the same thing also, the Rebbe says, that was the way the previous Rebbe behaved, who was celebrating, when the Rebbe said the Chassidic Discourse, his celebration, his redemption, when he was in prison. And like it says in detail in the writings and the notes of what took place at that time, that he made a resolution right in the beginning that he was going to be stronger and not to be intimidated by the whole situation. And that's the way he behaved this whole time in prison. And by taking that stand, not only that this stand gave him the power to withstand any difficulties and any concealments and any issues of the imprisonment, because the fact is the concealment wasn't only on materialistic things, but it was also on spiritual stuff. As we know, when he was in prison, he couldn't go ahead and teach Torah mysticism. But more than that, by taking the stand, all the concealment went away. It was gone. There's, even though to begin with, oh my gosh, it looked like they were strong. They were going to stop them from learning Torah and teaching Torah and teaching mysticism, etc. But when he stood strong, it totally went away. Up to the point that he was freed. And everyone saw he got freed. And by doing that, what happened was it became so strong by the Rebbe calls him like the person that's celebrating the celebration and the redemption. Just like, for example, with the Alter Rebbe on the 19th of Kislev, that through the fact that he's put into prison and he was redeemed, there became a greater upgrade in reference to the whole world of Chassidus. And like to explain many, many places, the same thing also over here, that there was a tremendous elevation in the previous Rebbe who was celebrating his Simcha and his Gula, his joy and his redemption, that what happened was there became a tremendous increase in spreading Torah, much greater than before. And up to the point that actually it started in a real way, spreading Torah and mysticism all over the world, and literally from here until ever. And like it says in the Talmud, that when you have three generations that are busy learning Torah, Torah will never stop. Why? Because Torah always comes back to its host. And the same thing also, that we have, because of the redemption of the 12th and the 13th of Tammuz, three generations, Rebbe says, of people that learn Torah and observe the mitzvahs, and even more than that, people that love the Torah and the mitzvahs. And because of that, observing the mitzvahs is done beautifully. How did that all happen? Because he stood strong, with tremendous strength, without making any calculations, and by standing strong, he was able to nullify the test on the highest level. And since there was a basa reisha gufa azel, when the head is strong, so the body follows. So that's why the spiritual work has to be each and every one of us, that we have to go on the straight path that we were taught, and we're going to go in the path that the Rebbeim taught us, to stand strong, not to be affected, and not to be intimidated from anything that's holding us back from serving Hashem. Why? Because since we're going to fulfill the mission in this world, so therefore, guess what? All these tests have no existence. And Hashem is really testing us for one thing only. To see, do we love Hashem or not? But when we stand strong, and we're willing to go on self-sacrifice, you know what happens to the test? The test goes bye-bye. No more test. So this is now, to understand this more specific and more in details, he says we'd like to give introduction of the whole idea why the soul came down to this world. And we know the soul came down to this world, it's a tremendous downgrade. It comes down from the highest level to the lowest level. Because the fact is, the neshama, the soul, before it came down to this world, it was Torah, it was totally pure. And there's many insights. When it says it's Torah, it's pure, what does it mean? So on one hand, it means pure, referring to the world of Atzilut. The world of Atzilut is called the pure world. The second level is Tehira Tata, a lower level of purity. And the third is Tehira Ilah. So there's Atzilut, Tehira Tata, and a higher level Tehira Ilah. And when it comes down to this world, not only to the world of Bria, Yetzirah Asiyah, which basically is the world, which is obviously full of division, but it even came down to this materialistic world and to the lowest level, which basically majority is evil and bad, only a drop is of good is in there, up to the point that this world is full of hardships. And like the Altar writes in Tanya, in the name of the Zohar, from Eitz Chaim, and not only that, it comes down to this world, and the lowest level, and up to the point where we went down to Egypt, and up to the point we have a Yetzer Hara, an evil inclination. They have to constantly struggle with the Yetzer Hara. And today the Yetzer Hara tells you like this, and tomorrow he tells you like that, and ultimately he wants you to get you to serve worship idols, which is the opposite of Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, I'm God, your God, or Lo Yilecha Lekim, you shouldn't have any other idols. Which is basically, we know Anoichi, the first commandment, is the source of all the positive commandments, and Lo Yi is the source of all the negative commandments. But the point is, why does it come down? It comes down because the Yerida is Tzorech Aliyah. It comes down because the tremendous elevation is going to come afterwards. In other words, even though the soul doesn't have to fix itself, the soul is part of Hashem. But it comes down to this world, why? To fix and transform the body, the animal soul, and the world. And like it says in Eitz Chaim, which is brought down in Tanya, but nevertheless, even though, again, the soul doesn't need to fix, it's coming out to elevate the animal soul, the body, and the world, but when the soul comes down to the world, the soul itself gets elevated as well. Higher than before it came down, and higher than the level of Tehiri Law, even higher than the level of Tehiri Law. And not only that, because it doesn't have any really connection with all these levels and all these heights, etc. And even though you can say that it has a connection to the Seder Ishtalos, etc., like the expression which is known that it's coming to serve in the body, but the goal is to connect to the essence of the Hashem. And like the Zohar says in another place that and on this level. You're only connected with the Jewish people and Hashem with Himself, which you connect literally to the essence of Hashem, which is even higher than the level of Torah mitzvahs. Now, this elevation that takes place for the soul, how does it happen? It happens when it does the work of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, because we know that why were we created? We're created to serve Hashem, and like it says clearly in the Torah, "Vayinecheu," He put Him in the Garden of Eden, la'avda ulashamra. So what does it mean to avda, to work? What kind of work or what kind of guarding? So avda is referring to the 248 positive commandments, and to guard is referring to the 369 negative commandments, because when it says hishomer, it's referring to the negative. And obviously before, in order to do the positive commandments and negative commandments, before they have to learn Torah, because Torah brings you to the actions. And also the getting rid of the evil inclination comes through Torah. Like it says clearly, Hashem created Yetzer Hara, but He created the Torah. And if you meet this evil inclination, bring him to the shul, bring him to the Beis Medrash, learn with him. And that's why it says, go away from evil, do good, search peace, and run after it, which is referring to the positive commandments, the negative commandments, and learning Torah, like it's brought down in the Torah in the Parsha of Balak. Okay. So in other words, so the souls in the highest level came down to the lowest level, but by going ahead and doing the mitzvahs and learning Torah, it goes even to higher levels. But everybody said, one second, we have to understand, what's the reason? But that specifically, that when the soul comes down to this world, it goes to higher level than before, up to the point that you can't compare it to its original level. And everybody explains like this. The reason is because the sparks that exist in the physical world, the source is an Olam HaToyu, which is higher than Tikkun. And like it says it clearly in the Torah, that where a person doesn't live on the bread, it's not the physical bread that you're eating, but there's Moitzei Pi Hashem, there's the sparks of Hashem that's in the bread that we live off. And the Arizal explains that what is Moitzei Pi Hashem? It's the godly spark that's in the bread. Now, so even though, one second, the person also has the spark of a God. How do we exist? Also from the spark of Hashem. So why do we have to eat the bread? But nevertheless, no, we have to eat the bread specifically because anything that's higher, when it falls lower. And therefore, so in the food, there's a spark from a higher level. Like, it gives an example. If you have, say, a big building, you have a rock on top of the building. So when it falls, so the rock that was all the way on the penthouse, it's going to fall much further. And so therefore, since that the spark of God that's in the bread fell to the lowest level. It's not in the human being. It's in the food. So, and because we know that the food comes from Tzemeach, and especially by the time you're eating, it's not even growing anymore. It becomes daimim. And now that we eat bread, we eat with salt. With salt is daimim, and the person is a medaber. So it's obviously it's a proof that that the spark that's in the bread is coming from a place which is much higher. And it's even higher than Adam Elia in the primordial man, the level of Tikkun. And specifically through that, the person lives, and the person is able to elevate to the higher level. And the point that the Rebbe says from another idea, which is explained elsewhere at length, the difference between the world of Tikkun and the world of Tayu. And it was both Tikkun and Tayu were created from the will of Hashem. However, the difference is in the world of Tikkun. So the expression is the Dain Hanile. And Olam HaTayu, it's the Dain Lai Hanile. And he explains, what does that mean? So Tikkun is, Dain Hanile, and Olam HaTayu is not. And he explains what that means. He says like this. In Olam HaTayu, there's the will of Hashem. Hashem wanted to create the world of Tayu. But Lai Hanile, which means the godly spark is concealed there. And in the revealed place, it's Tayu. You don't see the godly spark. And because of that, what happens down in this world, that things that were created from Olam HaTayu, even though in the revealed place, it's the opposite of Kedusha, it's the opposite of holiness, like it says, the Dain Loi Hanilei, but it's not, but the fact is, there's holy, holy sparks. And specifically in those things that look like it's not the will of Hashem, that's where the real power is. That's where the light of Tayu is. And that's why when the soul comes down to this world, it gets elevated than before. Why? Because he elevates the sparks of Tayu, and he inherits the sparks of Tayu. Like it says, "My Rosha Kehilas Yaakov," we inherit the holiest sparks. Now, based on the general rule that anything that's higher, when it falls much lower. So even the sparks of Tayu itself, what falls lower, the lower Tayu, the more chaos, the more drama, the more confusion, the more rebellion, the source is much higher. So what do we see from here? That there's a certain quality, an upgrade in the transformation that takes place through the negative precepts versus the transformation that takes place through the positive precepts. Because even though the sparks in the materialistic world, and through that you're doing the positive commandments, the source, again, anything in the physical world is from Tayu, but the fact is it didn't fall so low. Because the fact is you're able to elevate it. It's called Klipat Noiga. However, when it comes to negative precepts, what does that mean? It's forbidden. And it's actually bound up in external powers. So obviously it's a proof that the source of the energy in what's bound up is in a much higher place. And the proof is that when a person refrains from engaging in it by observing the negative the mitzvah slice, even in the beginning, before you transform it, you just push it away. So you're actually pulling in a greater energy than the positive precepts. And like it's explained in the Kutta Torah, that the positive commandments, mitzvah say, is connected to the vav hei, the two letters of Hashem, the last two letters, which is connected to the vanigloys, the one that's revealed, the longer line, the one that's revealed. On the other hand, the negative precepts are connected to the first two letters of Hashem, yud and hei, which is the concealed part. And we know that yud hei is also on its own, its own name. And the difference, you can't compare the first half and the second half. And like that's the difference between the internal light and the external light. In other words, when you do a positive commandment, yes, you're bringing in a light which is internalized, which is a light that fits into the vessel. That's why you're able to do the mitzvah. On the other hand, when it comes to a negative precept, you're bringing in the Mer Makif, the all-encompassing light, which you can internalize. And this quality of the negative precept compared to the positive precept is even when the negative precept is when you're pushing it away. And how much more so when you transform it. And then you're actually bringing in most powerful lights, even higher than you would normally push it away because you're transforming it. And like it's understood that this idea, when the concept of zdoinois nasolei zachios, then you take something negative and you transform it into something positive. How does that happen? It happens through tshuva. returning to Hashem. Because we know that the regular proper approach, when you go with it's called Tmidib Kinsidrum, in reference things are forbidden, proper approach, something's forbidden, you can't touch it. But through tshuva, you can transform it. And the difference between these two, between the proper approach and the total transformation, you can't compare. And like the difference between something which is finite and something which is infinite. And the same thing also in time. As we know, when a person does tshuva, and you have the power to transform the negative, it happens like this in an instant, which means it's above time. However, because the proper way of doing things take time, and the things have take space. However, through tshuva, you can totally transform things. Now, even though when things fall down in the sparks of negative precepts, so it's basically in things which are forbidden, and it's tied up in external powers, but nevertheless, it's a something. It's something that exists. And therefore, you're able to work with it. Obviously, through not engaging it and pushing it away like we just learned. So therefore, the light that comes from the negative precept, even though, yes, it's a powerful light, it's called Ohr Makif, and it comes like we learned from the Yud-Kei of Hashem's name. But nevertheless, the Yud-Kei of Hashem's name, it's letters in Hashem's name. And the fact is, we know a letter is something it reveals. Obviously, there's a difference between the Vav Hei, the last two letters of Hashem's name, which is more internalized, and the Yud Kei, which is more Ohr Makif. So, but nevertheless, it's something. However, when it comes to a Nisoya in a test, no, there's nothing that exists over there. In other words, even though in things that you observe the negative precepts, it's klipa. You can't. It's not holiness, but you can say that its whole existence is to oppose holiness. Because the fact is that there are many things that are forbidden only to eat. But you can benefit from it. And you can elevate it by benefiting from it. And matter of fact, certain things you need to benefit from. And the same thing also, there's different levels in things which are forbidden that are not totally against Hashem in all the details. And not only that, in certain things you have things which are forbidden and then they become permissible. Like, for example, powerful examples. When they conquered the land, or by other wars, so for example, we know that chazer, pig, is prohibited. But in war, pig became permissible. And when you eat it and it becomes part of your flesh. And through that energy that you received from eating an unkosher animal, you went and conquered the land. And that's, matter of fact, the reason why it was allowed to. So you see that the negative and things that are forbidden can actually help holiness. So that's all when it comes to mitzvah slaysasa. However, when it comes to an essay and a test, the whole existence is to conceal and hold you back from serving Hashem. Other than that, there has no reason to exist. Not even in a theory or in a dream. And since it came down so low that the whole existence is for one reason, there's no positive value you're going to get out of it. It's just to go against Hashem. So obviously it's coming from a high place. So therefore, by working with the tests, which is the lowest level, which means it's the only thing that exists is to go against Hashem, the person gets elevated to the highest level. Now, as we know, anything in Kedusha, anything in holiness, in order to draw energy, it has to have avodah. You need work. You know, there's no such thing as, in English it's called free lunch. And in the Kabbalah it's called Nama Deksufa. We don't do bread of shame, which means no work. So what do you see? That the upgrade in the work of a test over doing a positive commandment or for refraining from a negative commandments, it's not only because of the holy spark in the test, but it also is because of the effort and the work that the human being puts into it. Just like you can't compare the work and the effort by doing a positive commandments or by practicing restraint from a negative precept. Because in order to be careful not to transgress of a negative precept, you have to make a lot of boundaries. a lot of protection you have to put in place. And that's why, for example, the concept of Kaddish Atzim Mitalach, to even though things are permissible, you stay away from it just to create practicing restraint. So the same thing also, you can't compare what it takes to overcome a negative precept to the strength it takes to overcome a test. And you can say that's why Chazal Tei, in reference to the test of the Akedah, of the binding of Isaac, and that was the first test that was mentioned specifically in the Torah. And it says, Elokim Nisas Avram. It defines it. Hashem is testing Avram Avinu. And Hashem tells Avram Avinu, I tested you with many, many tests. And you withstood them all. Now he says, I'm begging you, withstand this test. Otherwise, they're going to say, all the 9 tests weren't really tests. Why is that? Because in the first 9 tests, that wasn't the complete work and effort that required to overcome a test. And the proof is, it wasn't called in the Torah as a test. Because when it's written and revealed, this is not the ultimate test. But when he withstood the test, wow, that completed and made Avraham Avinu's work true, even all his work till then. And that's the idea what it says, Kshaitzala. Like the Targum said, because of Kushtad Avraham Avinu, which is the truth of Avraham Avinu that was revealed through his work in the test. And that's why he explains in the Chassidic discourse that in order to overcome the test, it's not enough just logic. Tam v'das, logic is not going to do it. And not only logic's not going to do it, even logic which is based on self-sacrifice is not going to do it, but you have to do something which is 100% self-sacrifice. Why is that? Never explains. Because when you're busy with a test, that basically doesn't exist, a thing. And the only reason why it exists is to conceal and hold you back from a relationship with Hashem. So the only way to transform it is not by giving it existence and accepting it and dealing with it, but the only way you're going to get rid of it is total nullification. Why is that? Because when a person does something, work, tam vadas, intellect, even intellect of holiness, of the godly soul, but since it involves discussion and engaging, obviously you're basically saying that this thing has an existence. And therefore, it's not going to work for a test, for something that has no existence. The only way you can overcome it is self-sacrifice with full power, without engaging in discussion, and without making any calculations, and totally nullifying the test that it doesn't exist. And therefore, this powerful work, which is the most powerful part of the soul, comes from where? From the Yechidah, from the oneness of your soul. Because from the Yechidah, there's nothing that exists. Only holiness. And everything else is smokes and mirrors, a dream, an imagination. And even the existence of the dream is for holiness. So that the person should reach this level, which is higher than anything that you would achieve by doing a positive commandment or a negative commandment, and even higher than the work of a negative precept, where you're transforming the negative into positive, which basically is the level of tshuva, and tshuva from the highest level of love. Because nisyonis is all about, it doesn't exist. Now, so nisyonis is obviously the highest level, but now there's going to go even deeper, and he says like this. Even when it comes to tests, there's different levels of tests. In other words, just like in miracles, there's different level of miracles. There's a miracle within a miracle. So the same thing also when it comes to tests. There's different levels of tests. And like the Tzemach Tzedek explains in the Chassidic discourse called Achrei Shem Elokeichem, which is printed at the end of the book of Sefer HaMitzvos, and he writes over the different levels. And in general, the Rebbe says like this. Like the Rebbe Rashab brings in the Chassidic discourse on this title, Nasatni Nirech Neisli Slices. So he brings the Medrash, and he says, look at the difference between the Rishonim and the Achreim, the first and the ones at the end. The first ones, they would test Hashem. They would test it by Hashem. Where Hashem said, V'lakim nisas Avram. Hashem said, I'm testing Avram. So who tested the first ones, Avram Avinu, Hashem? Who tested later on? The nations of the world tested us. So when it comes to the test from the nations of the world, so the concealment is greater than regular tests. And therefore, in order to overcome those tests, requires a greater acceptance and a greater Mesiras Nefesh. And there was, you can say that's why that the main tests in the later generations, and especially now, right before Mashiach coming, because now the darkness, the double darkness, and double darkness, and the work is 100% self-sacrifice. And like it's explained in the different Hasidic discourses of the Rebbeim, and especially of the Friedrich Rebbe, who was celebrating, when there was a discourse of the he was celebrating his redemption and his happiness, based on the verse where it says like this, by Ish Moshe, the man Moshe Rabbeinu, Anavmoid, he was very, very humble. Mikala Adam Ashal Pnei Adama. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person. And how is he so humble? He was humble because of our generation, the generation before Mashiach coming. Because now we have the greatest concealments. But nevertheless, even though all the concealments, we're standing strong, very, very strong, and we're learning Torah, and we're doing mitzvahs with self-sacrifice. And because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu, he says in Yiddish, by Zichar Avkafal, he fell. Wow. And just like at the time of the when the previous Rebbe was arrested in that country, and the same thing also now. And even though we don't have that type of distractions for learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, but the fact is today our big test is because of the abundance and the wealth that we have. The abundance and the wealth, that's our test today. And sometimes, sadly, because of all the abundance, the test is even greater. Because the fact is, we know that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is very, very crafty with his work. Today he tells you to do this, and distracts you from serving Hashem, and main thing, you shouldn't serve Hashem completely, the way you're supposed to, and he brings you down from one level to the next level, and first he weakens you, and from the animal soul, and afterwards he causes you to do things accidentally, and in order to withstand, and to stand up against all these tests, a person has to be strong. And like the Altar writes in Tanya, you should literally scream loud, and you should bring the godly, the Yetzer Toiv over the Yetzer Hara. And by doing that, you literally nullify its whole existence. And on the contrary, what happens at the end is the enemies will support you and help you. And since the fact that the work before Mashiach comes is very, very hard, so obviously the Hashem gives us what we need, the power to overcome it. Because we know it says, Hashem doesn't ask us to do anything we don't have the power to do, that we have the power for every one of us to awaken the essence of our soul up to the point where it's going to shine with us in an internal way, up until it's going to come into our thought, our speech, and our action, and everything is going to be dedicated to Hashem, to learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And that's why it says, "Mipi oilim v'yonkim yisadim to'oiz, lahashbis oiv mesnakim," which means from the mouth of the children, Hashem gave us strength to overcome the enemy. And the previous Rebbe explains, who again was celebrating his redemption, his celebration, in the Chassidic discourse where it's titled the Kibbalah Yehudim, that they started, so he explained, in the year Tashrei Pei Zion, so he says that, the Chassidic discourse he said before he was imprisoned, and the time when there was tremendous decrees against him about learning Torah, and especially about the children learning Torah, and he said there as follows, through Oiz, through the real power, what's the real power, Torah? We will get rid of the enemy. Because the fact is, the enemy is the revealed enemy, and the one that was trying to destroy us on from a secret play, etc. And that's the greatest fear that we have. But through the power of Torah, then we can totally get rid of the enemy. And Torah, that's the real power. Because we don't think of any calculations, any concealment, and by standing strong and learning Torah, we'll nullify any decree, and what's going to get revealed is the truth, that none of that really has any existence, and it's all about trying to create fear, which really doesn't exist. and the beginning and the foundation of the strength of Torah comes from little children that learn. And like we said, we know it says clearly, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us, my Rosh, it's an inheritance for the Jewish people, that the Torah is an inheritance for every single Jewish person has a Torah's inheritance, and even a child that's one day old inherits a Torah and inherits everything. Like it says, Takas of Esecha Yubanecha, that you're going to inherit everything. It means even little children, they have the whole Torah as inheritance. And on the contrary, the Torah by the children is the foundation, Yisadatoyz. And like the Chazal tells, you don't have, you know, young children, you're not going to have older one, etc. And just like a physical foundation that's in the ground, it's not important how beautiful the foundation is, but you need the power, you need the strength. Because a person has to be strong that you can withstand, you can hold the whole building. And even the roof on the building you have to be able to stand, hold. So in order for the building to be strong, you need to have a strong foundation that all the winds of the world is not going to come ahead and move it. And what's the strength is? The strength comes from the children learning Torah. And when the children learning Torah, the breath of the children, that's the real power of Torah. That's how we'll get rid of any and all the enemies. The Rebbe says he'd like to connect this, that the idea of the work of the tests comes through self-sacrifice, which the same idea of a miracle within a miracle. He liked what it says in the Parsha Shavuot, obviously when the Rebbe said the Chassidic Discourse, where it says, "Ach begoyrol yecholik ha'aretz." In order to divide the land, they did it through a lottery. In other words, dividing the land, which is referring to dividing the land physically down here, and up to, obviously, dividing the land on high as well, or like it says in Chazal, which is brought down in the Chassidic Discourse of the Rebbeim, referring to the land down here, the land on high, and also the world to come. And we know every single person has a place in the world to come, and it says, V'amei kulam tzadikim, all the Jewish people, l'olam, here shars can inherit the land. How do you divide the land here, and the land on high, and the world to come? It's through a lottery. Goyrol, which is a lottery. What's the idea of a goyrol? And on a spiritual level, that is the avoda of lamayla mitamidas, above logic. And not only that, more than that, higher than logic, you can think it's rotzen. There's even higher than rotzen. And just like a lottery, literally, it's not dependent on the person that's making the lottery. So therefore, through by having a lottery, again, above logic and above will, that's how you divide up the land on all the levels. Even the level of the world to come, and obviously, literally, the land of Israel, that's little meaning. Like it says, the land that, what is the land of Israel? The land that Hashem's eyes are there from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And you have, there's two extremes. On one hand, it's without any limits of time, because it says from the beginning, Hashem is there from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. On the other hand, so one hand, it's no limit of time. On the other hand, it comes into time, because it's till the end of the year. And then after the end of the year, it gets renewed again, because a new light that wasn't there before. And this light comes into the physical world throughout the whole year, like it's explained in Alter Rebbe Tanya and Geres HaKodesh. And therefore, the division of land, which the light of the infinite light comes in there, comes specifically through the Goyrel, which place it comes from a place which is what? Above logic and above will. Now, this idea is also in mitzvahs. Because, and that's referring to the mitzvahs which are dependent on the will of your human being. What does that mean? Because what's the idea of a mitzvah? Doing a commandment. It's drawing down the will of Hashem. And like it says in the blessing of the mitzvahs, Hashem kidishanu b'mitzvahs v'tzivanu, Hashem commanded us. What is a commandment? It's the will of Hashem. It's the ratzon Hashem. And when a person does the will of Hashem, that's how you become sanctified. And in that, there's two components, Rebbe says. You have the positive commandments, and you have the negative commandments. And in the positive commandments, so when you do it, you have a revealed revelation that comes in. When it comes to the negative commandments, and like we know, when it comes to the blessing and the mitzvahs, we only make them blessing on the positive commandments. Because what's a blessing? Drawing down. Where do you draw down in a revealed way? In the positive commandments. But even in the negative precept, you're also drawing down the will of Hashem. It's not in the way of a blessing and a revealed way, like it's explained, Alter explains in Torah in reference to a blessing on the tefillah on the head. Because it's obviously the debate between the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim, do you make a separate blessing on the tefillah on the head? So the custom of the Sephardim is, no, you don't make a separate blessing on the tefillah on the head, like the Chabad custom is. Why? Because the reason is, because we feel that we can draw in the energy of Makif through a blessing. So it comes automatically. You don't need a blessing. The energy comes automatically. The same thing also, the negative precepts, you don't make a blessing on negative precept. because the energy comes in automatically. But even higher than that, so those are both that's dependent on us, the positive and the negative. But then there's mitzvahs that were not dependent on us. Like, for example, the mitzvah of, for example, it says that whoever, you know, runs after honor runs away for you. Or, for example, the mitzvah of shikha, forgetting. And that has nothing to do with the person. You forgot to gather the thing. Because why? Because the source is higher than the will. And in reference to spheroids, it's the spheres that come from the level of Arach Ampum, which is a lower level of Keter, which is basically the Ratzon Elyon. And then you have mitzvahs which aren't even dependent on the will, which is basically level of Atik, which means it's totally disconnected from the whole flow of Ishtal Shalos, and even from Arach Ampum, like the author explains at length in the Kutta Torah. And that's the idea of Goyrol in mitzvahs, that through Goyrol, through above logic, the higher in Arach and higher in Atik, through that you bring in the most powerful energy into the level of the positive and the negative commandments. And the same thing also represents, you have the goyrol, which is above logic by every single person. Just like we explained before in reference to tests. That Hashem gave us a test is referring to every single Jewish person. And the same thing also when it comes to the lottery of every single person. And like what says in the verse, Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu. How lucky, how good we are, our portion, manoim goyrolenu. That means every single person, we all not only have a chelek, a part, but we also have goyrolenu, which means above logic, and through that we connect to Hashem. And not only that, that this idea comes and it's expressed in a physical way, in a tangible way. Like the author explains in Tanya, in the Geras HaKodesh, in reference to every mitzvah, certain people have their special mitzvah, a mitzvah that they like. That everyone has their unique mitzvah, that's their specialty. Some like inviting guests, some like a talis, tefillin, meditating, praying, Torah. Everyone has their thing. And that is your goyrol. That's your thing that you do off the charts. And like it says, at the toimech goroli. In other words, that when the person does in the level of off the charts, after you reach the lesson, Hashem himself, the idea of atzmusa, the essence of Hashem. And like we've said, the idea of a goyrol, which means it's higher than our internal powers, which basically is the part that flows within a person, and even higher than the level of makiv, which is connect the panimi, which is the idea of ratzain, and so the level of atik, which basically netak, it's even higher than arach ampim, and that's the idea of apta toimer karali, which is referring to the yichida, the oneness of our soul, which is the spark that the human being has. And within that spark, we have the spark of Hashem, and that's why it's called Yechida, the oneness. Because it's a vessel for the one Hashem, which basically is the spark of Hashem, which comes into each and every one of us. And that's why the verse continues on and says, Leman Yecholtzun Yedidecha, so Aishia Yemincha Bahaneni, which basically Hashem is going to save his friend. Reach out your right hand and take us, in other words. So since it says in the second verse, after it says Leman, which means it's a connection to the first one. So it's obviously the second verse of Leman Yecholtzunecha is a connection to the first verse of Nesatali Recha Nes. In other words, what does that mean? When a person behaves in a level of Nes, which means you're willing to go and self-sacrifice and overcome the test, what happens afterwards? Leman, you're going to have Yecholtzunecha Hashem. Hashem is going to save us, and he's going to reach out his right hand. What does that mean? So he explains what he says. When it says in the Medrash, it says based on the verse in the Heshiv Ach Yemina, Hashem turned his right hand away, and it's referring to the right hand of Hashem. What does that mean? It means that in times of exile. So the verse, the prophet says, "In Eicha Heishiv Achri Yaminoi, the right hand of Hashem turned away from us." But when you're going to have the redemption, that right hand is going to be dedicated, and like it says, "Gaalti Yaminoi," Hashem is going to use the right hand to redeem us, and through that we're going to have the redemption of the right hand of every single Jewish person, and that's the connection between the tests, because the idea of the right. How do you get the right hand to come back, the strength to come back and save us? It comes through the goyrol, by doing things above logic. Like it says in the Medrash, that in the time of the redemption, we're going to redeem the right hand of Hashem. Like it says in the prophet Daniel, you're going to take out with the right, because basically, yamin, right, is connected to what? To the idea of lottery. And he's going to explain, and he says as follows. It says in the Medrash, It says, do we say Ketz HaYomim, the end of days, or Ketz HaYomim, the end of the right? So he says, no, Ketz HaYomim, the end of the right. What does that mean? So to explain the Chassidic discourse is that Yamin, right, is referring to the Yamin, the right of Arech Ampim, which basically in the lower level of Keser, Arech. And even higher, it's referring to the Yamin, which is higher than Arech, which basically is higher than Ratzon, because it's the right of Aptik, because over there, everything is right, because in Aptik, there's no left. It's all right. It's all Chesed. And this level we have in the time of exile. Like it says, Yamin Hashem Reimema, the right of Hashem is going to elevate us. Yamin Hashem Oysachayil is going to bring the greatest blessings. But however, in the time of Galus, it's concealed. We don't see it in a revealed way in our soul. But when a person serves Hashem with the right of his soul, and which basically serving Hashem with the essence of your soul, which is higher than will, which is the makabakar of Ratzon, which is basically the level of Goyrol, and then through that you're going to stand for the Goyrol, the Ketz HaYamin, that the Goyrol of the human being is going to be reach the highest level, which you're going to reach the level of Atik. Now, when you reach the level of Yamin, right, which is Atik. So then you have Aishia Yamin Chavaneni. Hashem saves us and answers us, that the right gets revealed. And like the Heshev Achi Yamin, the part of the right that was basically Hashem took away, becomes dedicated to redeem us. And that's the connection between these two ideas of Ketz HaYamin, which basically is, one literally means the right itself, which is referring, we said that level of Atik, and also Ketz HaYamin, which is referring to the spheres of Malchus. On one hand, Yamin is the highest sphere of Atik, and the other hand, it's connected to Malchus, and that's why it's called the Ketz, it's called the end, because the ultimate end is where the Yamin ends in Malchus. Why is that? Because on one hand, Malchus is the lower of the spheres, like it's called the Regal Yodis, the feet go down to the next world, up to where it goes down to the lowest possible world, but specifically through our Avoida, to redeem the right from it going down alone, and bringing it back to the level of Atik. Like I explained before, that specifically through the work of the tests, which is in the lowest level, and especially in the tests of our generation before Mashiach, because then, unfortunately, the darkness of Gullus is double and quadrupled. We come to the ultimate revelation of Yechida. And that's the connection between the Satan Erecha Nesle Sloises to the second verse, L'man Yicholtzi Nidecha Hashem Yechaneni, because when a person does and overcomes the tests, what happens is you actually redeem the right hand. And obviously, you like to connect this with what it says in the Psalms that we start saying on Yud Beis Tammuz that year, Tashin Lamed Vav, Oyer Zaru Al HaTzadik, the light was planted for the tzaddik, or Yishrei Lev, and for those that have a clear heart, Simcha, joy. So he brings the teaching of the Tzemach Tzaddik in his writings on Tehillim, and he brings what it says in the Medrash, that Oyer Zeru Al HaTzaddik, the light that's planted for tzaddik. What does that mean? It's the light that was created on the first day, and Hashem put it away for the righteous people in the future. And through that, Yishrei Lev Simcha, which is referring to the righteous people, that their heart, they have control of their heart. And he says, Oyer Zeruah. What does that mean? The light was planted, specifically planted. And he gives a simple example. When you have a seed and you plant it in the ground, what happens to the seed? It rots. And specifically by it rotting, that's what awakens the earth to give that it should give off, that it should grow. And those the power of growth in the earth, which is the power of the infinite power of Hashem, and through that it grows, which basically is revealing the infinite power of Hashem. And the same thing also spiritually. When a person does his spiritual work of bittul acceptance and self-sacrifice, we have the power to reach the infinite part of Hashem, which is above Ishtalshlus. And like he explains in the Chassidic discourse, based on the verse where it says, Habayim, Yashres, Yaakov, Yotzis, Aparach, Yisrael, Amolo, Pnei Tevas, Tuba, which what does it mean? He explains, that's the avoided, the spiritual work of learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, but specifically through bittul acceptance, just like planting, where it totally becomes bittul. Through that you have, you fill up the whole area with growth, which because you're revealing the infinite part of Hashem, and like it's explained in the Chassidic discourse as well, in the which is called Kol HaNena of the year Tafresh Nun Beis, and also like it's explained that specifically through the work of the test, we reach the level of a miracle within a miracle, which means we reach the level of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. And the Rebbe explains, this is also the idea where it says in the verse, V'chol karnei reshoyim agadeya, all the thorns of the wicked people Hashem is going to get rid of, t'rei marmino karnei sadik, he's going to elevate the horns of the righteous people. And the Medrash says that there are 10 horns that God gave to the Jewish people. And sadly, when the Jewish people sinned, it was taken away from them and it was given to the nations of the world. What's the idea of the horn and the elevation? That's really only for the Jewish people. But sadly, when we sin, and or like the idea of a sin which is basically lacking, because when you sin, you're not complete. So that's why we were exiled from the land of Israel. And like it says, because comes a knife, and when this one stands up, the other one falls. And then what happens is that all the horns by the nations are strong, and the ones for the Jewish people are knocked out, God forbid. But by learning Torah and observing the positive commandments and staying away from the negative commandments, and mainly through the avoid of the work of self-sacrifice, overcoming tests, and especially in our generation before Mashiach comes, because now it's even harder. And so therefore our work is like a level of a miracle within a miracle. So through that we actually create and transform of Tremarnar Karnei Tzadik. We elevate the horn of the Tzadikim. That not only do we have the horns, but it's and through that when we have it, obviously all the horns of the nations of the world get wiped out, but it's in a way of that it's elevated. It's a miracle within a miracle. The Kate Hayamin, the right side, which is higher obviously than the right of Arachampin, the level of Avadik. And this is the chiddush, the revolutionary idea of the redemption of the future versus the redemption when we went out of Egypt. Because when we left Egypt, it was only through the power of Arachampim, the lower level of Keter, which is two levels, the Zroya Yamina, Zroya Smol, you had the right and left. But Terimamna Kana Tzadik is only the Yamin of Atik, is only right. And practically speaking, when it comes to mitzvahs, it's the mitzvahs that it's not dependent on our will. On the contrary, the will does to do the will of Hashem. And when you want to do it, actually takes away from doing the mitzvah. What does it mean practically? Serving Hashem without any limits. You're standing strong against anything that's concealment, anything that's holding us back, and you give no power, energy to it, like the level of what? Of Goyrol. Remember, for example, he said like this, when we do our avodah, our work of goyrol, means not making any calculations, that's how you divide up the land. In other words, besides the fact of conquering the land, but you actually divide it up, which means it comes in an internal way. And like it says, you're yirishta v'yishafta, but you're going to inherit it, and you're going to dwell in there. In other words, after the 7 years of conquering and 7 years of dividing the land, and then they started to do the mitzvahs which are dependent on the land, and the same thing also with the land on high, which is referring to the world to come, which is basically the reward for doing the mitzvahs, that all the Jewish people have a place in the world to come, is because we have the level of goyrol, the lottery, and atah, toimech goyroli, the Hashem, is connected to every single Jewish person. And even somebody, this is very powerful, that in the revealed way, You don't see in a revealed way good and holiness. Every single person has the goyrol in his soul. And on the contrary, it could be specifically that this person has a higher soul. And because of that, he can transform himself in 1 second and in 1 moment, that he can be totally on the highest level, complete in holiness. Wow. Everybody says, well, in the standard base, what's explained many places, what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I don't know which way they're taking me at the end of his life. What do you mean? He prayed, he studied, did mitzvah, he was like the supreme being. What do you mean he didn't know? He still said he don't know. Why? Because he didn't know, was he serving God from the essence of a soul? Like the goyrol, off the charts, whatever Hashem wants? Because there's no proof when you what you're doing, if it's coming from a pace of logic or above logic. And obviously, when it comes to a positive, it's much greater. You know, even somebody that in a revealed place, that it doesn't look like he's doing it for the right reasons, or he's not doing what he's supposed to, it's no proof that his off the logic, off the charts, is affected. And especially that on every single person that says Ashreinu, Matoy Chokeinu, Manoyin Garelenu. So it's obviously sure that that person that you think is not doing the right thing has a very, very high soul, and he has the power to totally transform and overcome, even if he has, God forbid, a concealment and a double concealment of his intellect and of his thoughts and speech and action for a long period of his life. And just like the Lazarus and the Daya, that he was able to transform and buy his whole world in 1 second. And just like when it comes to dividing the land on high and the world to come, which comes through the Goyrol, that every single person has that power. The same thing also when it comes to conquering and dividing up the land literally, which comes to us through the Goyrol that every single person has. And because we know that the land of Israel is has a connection to every single Jewish person with an everlasting bond for our generations, for forever, which is basically an inheritance from Avraham Avinu, Mifnei Kosh Yitzhar, like the verse says, from the original bond of Beis Hamasarim, and we have the land of the seven nations, and besides that we're going to have, Hashem is going to expand the land, Eretz Kneini, Knizvi, Kmoini, etc., like it says in the in initial bond, and even more so, that Hashem is going to expand the boundaries up to you have the greatest expansion. And that's why the verse says, Nasata liyarecha neis nesnois v'nekosh yasela, which means that the truth of Avraham Avinu is in a way that's everlasting, that even at the end of the time, in the time of before Mashiach comes, and specifically in the last moments of exile, the work of the Jewish people is in a level of what? Mesiras nefesh, self-sacrifice, miracle within a miracle. Not only did they have the horns, but even more than that, it's an elevated horn. Like Rashi says, that it's referring to the Jewish people, which is the praise of Hashem, that we are the righteous people of the world. And through that, Yecholsun, Yedidicha, Hayshia, Yemincha Baineini, that Hashem is going to redeem us with the right and the time of Gullus, and the right hand that he looked away is going to bring it back. And it's going to happen, but we're going to reveal the lottery, which means our connection with Hashem, which is above logic, by every single person, but we're going to stand on the right side, after Tomech Karali, and through that we're going to have, Ach b'goyril yichalik aretz, only specifically through the lottery, above logic, we can divide the land, and like the two different opinions, or yichalik of a tichalik, which is going to have the division of the land, literally division of the land, and it's going to be lamata me'asar tzvachim, in a real way. It's going to happen with the true redemption, the complete redemption, through Mashiach. And through that, we're going to have the conquering of the complete land. And afterwards, we're going to have the conquering of the Eretz, Keni, Knizi, V'Kadmoini. And Hashem is going to continue to expand the borders of Israel. An inheritance which is going to have not going to have any borders. And since all of this is going to happen through the Geirah, which means above logic, so therefore, you don't need to have a lot of time. Like the Alter Rebbe writes clearly, it's going to be a day that's going to be totally long, that even in the beginning it's long, like literally in 1 second, the redemption is going to come, the true redemption, the complete redemption, with all the details of it, up to the point where Hashem is going to expand the borders, specifically through Hashem, like it says, Ata, you Hashem himself, and it's going to happen very, very soon, with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, that Hashem is going to take the Jewish people standing straight, strong, with the true redemption, the complete redemption, the Yarim Kerem Mashichoi, and these days are going to be transformed to Sasoin and Simcha, to joy and celebration, and to holidays, and most importantly, it says, Ba'agala Yidan, obviously in our generation. So here you have another very, very powerful, beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe, the power that we have by serving Hashem, Nisyonos, standing strong, not being intimidated, and that will bring us the Goyrol, that will bring us the greatest blessings, the coming of Mashiach. Let's hope and pray our next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Thanks so much for joining us.